Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Simon, and I am doing a kind of impromptu show from my series, The Stories We Live By. I say good morning, but I truly don't feel it is very much of a good morning. The sun is shining, the sky is blue here in beautiful Florida, but I am sitting here in a kind of a moral, intellectual agony, as I know many of the people in our country and around the world are after the latest horror, total horror, of a mass shooting, the killing of 17 children. I'm afraid to turn on my TV to find out that some of the more critically wounded people in that school in Parkland, a quiet and a lovely community, will also be dead. All night, I had trouble getting out of my mind, and even this morning, and especially this morning, what it feels like, what it would feel like for me as a parent or a grandparent to get a phone call that we sent our child to school and he's dead or she's dead of an assault by some pathetic individual who had access to another assault rifle, an AR-15, went into the school and killed indiscriminately our children, and that I would have to go to a morgue to identify the body of my child. It is beyond anything I want to put my head to. But on the larger scene, we're now getting used to this. I was watching an interview with the ex-police commissioner of New York, Bratton, who said as they were looking at a tank standing by the school and hundreds of SWAT team members running into the school with pointed rifles and flak jackets, that this is the new normal. We are, as a species, adaptable, and our children are adapting to the ever-increasing violence and incivility and social breakdown taking place so rapidly in our society. And I want to talk about some of those consequences and some of the feelings I have that are mobilizing me to take certain actions because I feel when I just back up a second, I've been calling for a while now my senator, Marco Rubio, his office, and leaving messages that I am sickened by his stance of cowering before the NRA for taking millions of dollars of their money. Yes, it may be necessary for him to get elected, but does he think about, as a parent, standing before the dead body of his child killed in school by a machine gun, that he has the power to prevent? Three things could be done immediately to reduce this nightmare descent into barbarism, as I entitled my show. Three things could be done. The first is that there could be background checks, total background checks on everybody. Something that the fast computers could do. The young man who I will talk about in a moment, who committed this atrocity, had been, the FBI apparently had been notified. He was on a lot of people's radar about bragging on internet, on the internet or YouTube, that he was going to someday be a professional school shooter. His ambition has now been realized. And I called Rubio's office in Miami and his office in Palm Beach County, where I live. And I said to the secretary, I sent emails, that I am sickened by his cowardice, that I feel he has lost all political and human moral authority in his need to keep his job and have his power as he takes millions of dollars. He's not alone. Many in the Republican Party cower and are silent or are actively engaged in the breakdown of society. And on the left, I see many on the left now taking the same authoritarian point of view, screaming at people that they disagree with, rather than entering into a realistic and important debate on a civil level. We are going downhill very, very fast. I don't know what the effect of this is going to be, but I see what's happening. That we now have a leadership that operates purely on labeling people and insulting people. There is no discussion of actual facts. It's alternative facts, lies that are made up, attacks on our FBI, on the people who are telling us that the country is under attack by Russians to influence our elections and disrupt civil society and the democracy that we depend upon, a civil democracy that we depend upon to keep us from descending completely into anarchy and barbarism. Our children are watching this. The strong man is winning. The rest of us are either disorganized, taking the high road that is going nowhere, and not dealing with the situation as it must be dealt with. And I left a message in Rubio's office that I mean that I will give every cent that I can to his defeat, and I will continue calling. And I sent out an email on my Facebook that everybody who feels as I do has to keep calling. He has blood on his hands, Rubio. The politicians have blood on their hands. But those of us who don't vote also have blood on our hands. Those of us who don't stand up and speak out as loudly as we can in whatever venue that we can, so that our children hear and watch that there is a pushback against the tribal authoritarianism being demonstrated, tribal authoritarianism and intellectual degradation that is taking place right before us from the top of the country on its way down. These children are growing up afraid and fearful people where their life is what is at stake will listen to whatever strong man comes along, worse than Trump, the worst is yet to come, who say that these are your enemies. I was reading some texts on Twitter of some young man writing that the Democrats shouldn't have guns. They're all mentally ill. They're pathetic. They're sexually inadequate. Someone else saying, with no sympathy for the victims, that you will not take away our guns. What could be done immediately? I said background check, and I'm not being completely organized and coherent in this presentation, but that's all right. But we can also ban the use, the availability and the use of assault weapons. Our police are terrified of assault weapons on the street. To bring tanks into a school to stop a slaughter because the cops normally carrying pistols are totally outgunned by the individual committing these atrocities. And finally, there are, in our miracle of technology, easy ways of making a gun fully registered to its owner, fireable only by the owner. How much would that reduce the terror in our society and reduce the probability that slaughters can take place like this? Make smart guns. Right? My car can't crash into another car because it automatically stops if I don't stop it. My car is pulled back into the lane if I start drifting over the lines on the highway. We can do this technology. We can do it with guns. But it's not going to be done unless we as citizens demand and push back and get rid of those politicians. Change the whole electioneering law where it's paid for, the elections are paid for out of the public purse that we contribute to, rather than the dark money that has come filtering down, corrupting our politicians by those who are making the money out of selling these weapons. And what is the response of my field? To continue to say that the problem is in the individual doing the shooting, thereby agreeing with those craven politicians who say, if only we can improve our mental health system, we can reduce the violence. This is nonsense. Every one of us has fantasies about the tools we use. A carpenter fantasizes about making something fabulous out of wood. I'm going to go to the golf store later and see if I could pick up another club. I'm obsessed with golf clubs because they're the tools of the activity that I enjoy so much. What is the fantasy life of gun owners, particularly people who own and practice with AR-15s and assault rifles of other type, military-grade weapons? We don't ask these questions. The problem is in the individual and not in the structure of the society that demands an adaptation to believing that a weapon is all that is necessary to protecting you and your children. I watched Fox News for a moment this morning, and it was thrown in as a sort of a side of comment that somebody could have stopped it if they were better armed when the weapon was being fired at these children and the teachers, some of whom died and some died heroically. Right. Now we're going to put in place grief counselors. My head explodes at the words grief counselors. What will be talked about? The fears and the victimizations that are taking place? Rather than how do we, you as psychologists, describe what is happening in our society as we fail to speak out, as we fail to take adequate political action done democratically but forcefully to protect what's left of our civilization? Because at the point at which an individual such as this Cruz, an orphan, an abandoned child taken in by a neighbor who gave him a room, while terrified, frightened, plans to control his life with the use of a gun and go shoot children who still have families, whom he has dehumanized. Because at the point at which he is shooting people, it's not a mental illness that's possessed him, but a loss of his morality, a loss of his perception of himself as a functioning part of a society, that of a functioning family, of a functioning school, made up of other human beings who hurt as much as he does. What will we do? Diagnose him and give him psychotherapy as we put him away for the rest of his life? Certainly. I don't want to ever see this young man, this wasted life, back out on the streets. There'll be calls for his death, more violence, an endless cycle of violence now increasing and taking place. With the rest of us mourning the loss of our children, mourning the loss of our freedoms to the awful human beings that we call politicians, unable to marshal any kind of action that takes into account protecting us as human beings and protecting the society, that allows us to live as human beings rather than as fearful frightened animals, hoping that somebody's gun will protect us or that we can kill somebody that we've already dehumanized and demonized so that we can no longer see their humanity. I speak as a citizen. I speak as a psychologist. And I am frightened. I am frightened. So not much for me. My life is at 77, way past its midpoint and heading towards its ultimate demise. My wife and I have been waiting in the last month for doctor's calls about tests we've taken that may have said, here is the final act to be acted out in response to the medical profession for our existence. Fortunately, it's not yet our time for the barrel. That's a joke I could tell at another time, but I won't now. So I'm going to do another show when I schedule it in a week or so about psychotherapy, where I put therapy in quotes, which is a democratic procedure. And it dawned on me, how can I advise people when they go for help to find a real psychotherapist? And the answer is you can't find one because the profession is so wrapped up in its vision of the problem being within people rather than without. And giving at the moment of agreeing to work with the person, a diagnostic label that says you are sick, you are damaged, you have a brain condition that makes it the best you can do is as little as possible. Don't stand up. Don't create. Take your medications to control your behavior. And that's it. Pathetic. Pathetic and damaging to us as individuals and as a society. Well, we're going to have to be active citizens, and we're going to have to be active patients, active clients. And so I'm going to suggest ways of finding a therapist that you can work with and demanding of them that you be treated as a citizen, as an individual capable of thought and feeling and growth and creativity. That's it. I'm going to go take my blood pressure now because I don't like the feeling at the top of my head. And I'm going to worry about the poor people whose lives are over. Nobody gets over this kind of experience. You don't get over the death of a child, particularly the meaningless death through some kind of gratuitous violence. You hopefully can live through it, but you're transformed by it. Transformed like the soldiers I have spoken about who have this bullshit diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder. They've killed and watched killing, and they have doubts about why they were sent, and they come back not the same person because human beings adapt. And if they can help to be adapt to go back as full creative citizens, that's one thing. But to be told that they're damaged and traumatized and require medication and endless therapy is not an adequate solution from my point of view. Coming up on 20 minutes of my show, if anybody would like to call in, I don't expect that anybody's out there. I did this impromptu. I feel better for having done it. I'm going to this afternoon call little Marco Rubio's phone numbers, the rest of his offices, and tell them how ashamed and sickened I am of his behavior and the other politicians who won't speak out as the president attacks the FBI and those who would protect us from the external and internal threats, so that he can maintain his power and run his reality TV show and business out of the White House of the greatest country as the leader of the free world. Enough, enough, enough. Okay. Nobody's going to call in. I hope this show is disseminated, anybody who hears it. I don't know if it got to, I find out, I think it's sent to my Twitter account, but if not, I'll go on the air and see if I can get as many people to listen to this and get other people to listen to it and act. We must start acting. Speaking up and acting as the citizens of a democracy of which we are a part and responsible for its continuance. Take care, all. I wish us all very good luck. May all our children come home from school today healthy, happy, and better educated when they went.